United States, when a woman gives birth in prison, she's quickly separated from her child. Not so in Mexico. There, you might see children as old as six, still living with their incarcerated mothers, or even attending school. Those are children in class in the Santa Marta Aquitatla Maximum Security Prison on the outskirts of Mexico City. Now, conditions for kids vary widely between prisons in Mexico, but the Mexico Human Rights Commission says that more children than ever are living behind bars with their mothers in Mexico, around 600 in 2016, according to estimates. Jasmine Garst is a correspondent for the Across Women's Lives Project on Public Radio International. She's been looking into the prisons in Mexico, talking with mothers raising their children there and asking what's best for the kids.
Basically, if you give birth when you are in prison, you will get to keep your baby until, it used to be until the age of six. A new law says it's until the age of three, but it isn't retroactive. So there's a whole generation of kids that are going to be staying in prison until they're 6 years old. And this is actually pretty standard around the world. In fact, the U.S. is kind of an outlier when it comes to allowing mothers to stay with their babies in prison nurseries. It's not allowed here in the U.S. for the most part. In the rest of the world, this is pretty standard.
Well, you followed two families and their experiences with this system. Introduce us to Nancy.
Sure. Nancy Polanco Najera is a 34-year-old woman. She's been in prison since she was 19 years old. When she was 19, she got sentenced to 40 years in prison. So Nancy Polanco has a 4-year-old child. His name is Alexis. She's raising him in the prison. And she is worried about how, you know, by the time a kid is 4 years old, he or she starts to kind of figure out where they live and where they are, and she's worried about that.
He'll be watching TV, the news, and they'll talk about someone who's being sent to Santa Marta prison, and he'll say, we live there, and he'll ask, why do we live here?
And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of like the big debate. What's more humane, to keep a child with his mother and foster that connection, or to, you know, allow a kid in a prison, but eventually they become aware of their surroundings?
I mean, Jasmine, Nancy, of course, doesn't want to be separated from her child. At the same time, she's living with the inevitable idea that a young 4-year-old is starting to realize that he's behind bars.
Yeah, not only that, he's in 2 years, he's going to have to leave by law. And she's kind of trying to prepare him for this. And what's really heartbreaking about Nancy's story is that her whole family is incarcerated. She's in there with her mother, with her sister, with her boyfriend. Her father was incarcerated and he passed away. This was that, you know, they're accused of running an organized crime family. And like a lot of organized crime, it's a family affair. And there is no one to take her child on the outside.
Well, with no family on the outside, in fact, with most of the family on the inside or passed away, as you mentioned, what's in store for Alexis in a couple of short years?
It's very haphazard the way it's handled, you know, where these kids go, where they end up. There's not a social services government presence as we know it in the U.S. Alexis, he has an aunt or two who live in the U.S., which, you know, might be very complicated for him. A lot of these kids, they'll end up either with neighbors in government, kind of wards of the state, or religious organizations that take care of these kids. And if they're lucky, they end up with family. And I actually met one girl. I was really curious to find out, where do these kids end up, but what impact does it have on you to spend your first 4, 5, or 6 formative years of your life in a prison? What impact does it have emotionally, psychologically, physically? That's really part of the big debate. And I met one girl who was born in prison. Her mother was a very high-profile drug cartel case. And essentially what happened is a distant cousin caught wind of, okay, this girl was born in prison, and he starts going to visit. His name is Jesus Buendia, and here he is talking about the first time he meets this baby who is in prison.
Yo la cargué porque se me hacía muy tierna. Yeah, I lifted her up. I thought she was so sweet. And at the same time, I had a lot of questions. Like, why is this kid in here? She got roll called like all the other inmates. She'd get up like all the inmates. They allowed her to go for walks like all the inmates. And that gave me this tenderness, and I just thought it was so strange.
Isabel's mom was facing the same exact problem as Alexis's mom. You know, Isabel was turning 4. Pretty soon, she was going to have to leave. This was a pretty rough prison. And she says to him one day, listen, my kid has nowhere to go. The whole family is on the inside. No one is going to take this kid. And, you know, Jesus thinks about it, and he decides to adopt baby Isabel.
Y su mamá se empezó a doler un poco, empezó a caer, y hablé con ella unas palabras. Dije, mira.
And her mother was so sad, her face fell. And I said to her, listen, the way you feel right now, that's how I'm going to feel when you come back for her. So I'm asking you to be strong. If you're strong, I'll be strong. She took a deep breath. The prison authorities allowed her to accompany us as far as she could. And that's how this story begins.
That's how this story begins, Jasmine. Does it end with a happy ending for Isabel?
Well, yes and no. Isabel's 8 years old now. She's not like other 8-year-olds. When Jesus brought her home, pretty quick he realized she was not like other 4-year-olds.
No conocía un árbol.
She had never been close to a tree. She had never been close to other kids. She was the only kid at the prison. Food, she didn't know how to drink from a bottle or with a straw.
So she's not, when he brought her home, you know, when the exhilaration of having this new baby kind of faded away, the family realized, okay, there's some problems here. Not just, I mean, there's behavioral problems. He told me Isabel really, really gets upset when routines are broken. And he chalks that up to her having spent these formative years in prison. And there's also physical problems. Isabel had a stroke a couple of years ago. She's had just some physical problems. They've been working with specialists. But what Jesus told me is, at the end of the day, in between these crises, she's just the best thing that's ever happened to him.
Well, Jasmine, Isabel is a case of just one child. But she really is the picture of this debate, this dilemma, right, that you've uncovered in Mexico. A girl who got to spend a couple of years with her mom, but clearly has been affected adversely, clearly has been impacted negatively by a childhood behind bars.
Absolutely. Most experts I speak to on this topic tell me, you know, we're having this debate about what should happen to the kid. Should we have a prison nursery? Should the kid be allowed to stay or should the kid be removed? And maybe we need to be having a debate about, you know, how militarized and ineffective the drug war has been in incarcerating, you know, women who were teenagers or, you know, extremely harsh and long sentences, when really, you know, what we should be focusing is on drug treatment, drug courts. Why are these women getting involved? Are they being coerced into getting involved? Is the U.S. pumping over $2 billion into drug war enforcement in the last 10 years, is that where we need to be pumping our money into? Is it working?
Jasmine Garst, correspondent for the Across Women's Lives Project on Public Radio International. Jasmine, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.